Din levarich birchas asher yotzar kol ayom. You have it, page 24? Yeah? Siman Zayin. Achar atolos mayim. Kol ayom kisha ose tzrochov ben k'tanim ben g'dolim levarich asher yotzar. In other words, don't think that one asher yotzar will cover you for the whole day, but rather each time you go to the bathroom, you need an asher yotzar. And then he says, "V'lo al netilas yadayim." No, it's netilas yadayim is a bracha that we make once a day for nikiyus. I mean, there'll be another al netilas yadayim, obviously, for suda. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Afilu nimshach zman gadol achar asiyas hatzrochim, afilu hachi chayev levarach." I guess he delayed for some reason in making his bracha, and nevertheless, whenever he gets a chance, he'll make his bracha. What if he has to go a second time and he didn't make asher yotzar? Dasa prima godin, demi kodem shiyatil yivarach asher yotzar ator rishona. Now this is a very strange kind of halacha, because you're not allowed to make a bracha when you have to go to the bathroom, but yet the prima godin in this case, because he wants to avoid this suffix where you may give up and forfeit the opportunity to make an asher yotzar and fulfill this mitzvah because he's going to go a second time. So therefore, before he goes the second time, he should recite the bracha. Al b'shari tshuva hiskim v'shem achronim dim nizkar li'achar shehiskel otayva shuv lo yivarech. If he already feels the need to go, then he should not make a bracha. In that state, he should not make a bracha. You know, the impression you get is that the prima godim thinks that even though you're going to go to the bathroom, but you don't have this, you know, this real pressing need to go to the bathroom. These kind of shilas come up all the time, especially with older people, you know, where the urinary tract is not as good as it was in the younger years. And the question is, you know, how, you know, he's going to be going to urinate so many times during the course of the day, that's just the day of the game, you know, he has prostrate, all this kind of stuff. So then, how often should he be making asher yotzar? But it's even more complicated because, you know, if he delays the asher yotzar, then maybe he'll feel the need to go again. So I think the prima godim is giving us a little bit of rope here, a little bit of leeway, that it's, if it's not absolutely pressing. So for example, you come into a shul and they're up to kedusha, and you have to go to the bathroom. So are you allowed to respond to the kedusha? Well, pashas, the answer is no. But according to prima godim, it could be that if you're in an early stage and you're not yet, it's not, as we said before, it's not yet urgent, then perhaps he can answer to kedusha. I'm just giving that example. Now in Sif Beis, in Sifkat Beis, the Mishnah Berurah says Kosav Rashal, that's the Marshal, Misha Ochal, we're now on the page you'd give him, Misha Ochal Dover Shechaya Brochach Ronim V'Shochach. Okay, he hasn't yet recited his Brochach Ronim. Vehitel Mayim, and then he went to the washroom. Vinizkar Kodim Shebol Levarech Asher Yotzar Ezemim Kodim. So now we need to prioritize in terms of chronologically which bracha should he recite first. So then he needs an Asher Yotzar for going to the bathroom. He needs a bracha achrona for the food that he ate. You and I would have said that the bracha achrona should come first because his obligation vis-a-vis the achila came first. So pick up your first obligation and then pick up your second. Or should we say no, that maybe in this case the asher yotzar stands as a separate entity unto itself. And the bracha achrona, you know, you have an extended period of time, but the asher yotzar, you want to link up immediately with the urination, if he urinated. Beheshiv. So here's the Marshal's response to this question. He says, "The Asher Yotzar Kodem." Interesting that Asher Yotzar should come first. Now we thought maybe Asher Yotzar should come first because it's like an independent entity. It's not in any way, you know, undermining the Bracha Achrona for the Suda. But he gives a totally different reason, and he says, "Todir." Which means that Todir Vishena Todir Todir Kodim, and the bracha of Asher Yotzar is more common. So let's say during the course of a day a person recites Asher Yotzar, shall we say, five times, maybe twice that amount. But in the case of a bracha achrona, you know, even if he eats three meals a day, real serious meals, he will only recite that bracha three times a day. In my mind, this marshal is a big chiddush, because I would have said that tadir.
Why are you saying marshal?
The rashal is the marshal, same person. So you can call him the rashal if you like. Rav Shlomo Luria was his name. He lived 5 centuries ago. He's like one of the pillars of. Yeah, he's one of the pillars of Ashkenazic psak. Really, one of the pillars. So the marshal throws into the equation tadir, and I find this a big chiddush, because I would have said that tadir applies when you have two things that both of which are set to a certain time. You know, you look at your clock and you have something that's time bound or time linked, and if that time linkage is very frequent, then you upgrade it to the status of tadir. So let's say, for example, you have something that every day within that 24-hour unit requires that you fulfill that mitzvah. So it's called tadir, because every time unit, in this case every day, is machayev you. Or for example, kriyat shema, right? So you have kriyat shema b'shal b'chav mekumecha. It's related to a time period, and therefore, hence, you call it tadir. But you could have something like Rosh Chodesh, which is eino tadir, because it's only once a month. But again, my parameter for tadir and eino tadir is because it's connected to a time period. Here, in the case of bracha achrona, depends when you ate a meal. It has nothing to do with the time period. Even asher yotza is not attached to any time period. It's attached to whenever you go to the bathroom. He's saying that tadir sheina tadir relates to how often you make the bracha, even if the bracha has nothing to do with the time period. It's just it's just generated by an occurrence that happened. You ate or you went to the bathroom.
I'm thinking that it's the reason instead is the similar to the need to urinate before davening, that it stands in the way. This, you know, one should relieve themselves before tefillah. So here too, this stands in the way.
Well, no. The case is that he relieved himself. He's clean. His body is clean. Now he has two brachas, right? One bracha is asher yotzar, and the other bracha is a bracha achrona for the food that he ate before he went to the washroom, and he delayed making that bracha. And as of all things were ideal, he would have recited the bracha as soon as he completed his meal. But for whatever reason, he went to the bathroom. Now he comes back, and he has two brachas. Which should take precedence in terms of sequence of priority? And the marshal applies the principle of tadir, because asher yotzer is something that's recited 5 times a day, 10 times a day. And bracha achrona, how often do you recite during the course of the day? Maybe once, maybe 3 times, maybe more. All right, let's go on to the next shaila. Misha shoses sam hamishalshel. He has some problem in his system, and he has to get it out of his system. He has to cleanse his system. So he takes a certain kind of a medication, which he drinks, and it makes him very quickly defecate, you know, in a very quick kind of response. I don't know if you... Did you ever have something called a colonoscopy? Yeah, so you know they make you drink that stuff. It's horrible. I remember for years, whenever I saw that glass that I drank from, I reminded myself it was terrible. But I think now they've improved it a little bit. I don't know, I haven't gone for one in quite a few years. It's probably time for another one. So he says, yeah. Mishal Shel means it makes him...
The same word, Shulshal.
Correct, Shulshul, you know, which is diarrhea, right. So it gives you immediate diarrhea because you have to clean out the system. Let's say, for example, you ate something that's very, you know, that could cause you infection, so you have to get it out of your system. So you drank this sam, this drug, that's mishalshel. In other words, he's going to be going constantly for the next who knows how long, an hour, 2 hours, maybe more. When should he make his asher yotzar? If he's going to make his asher yotzar after the first time, he's going to be making it every couple of minutes, you know what I mean? because he has this urgency of continuous going to the bathroom. He says, "Yesh bedaitni fine." He says, "Al kein yesh omrim," according to one opinion, "lo yavarech kim im acher gemar ha'otzah." He should wait till his whole system is cleaned out. Even though, again, he defecated a whole bunch of times, he should postpone his ashiyotz till the end. Yesh omrim, another opinion is, "di yavarech b'chol pa," that he should still make an ashiyotzar, even though he knows he's on his way, his process is, his enterprise is to go and go and go. V'aminikis v'achrona. He says that if he doesn't feel the urgency of going, even though he knows he's going to go later on, he should make an ashiyotzar. That's our minhag. Ach b'shulshul chazak. But if it's such a powerful response to this drug, shemargish miyad, she itztarech lefano shenis, immediately he finishes one and he realizes he's going to have to go again, asu levarech, because again, once he has this urgency, his body is not clean and therefore he's not allowed to make a bracha. Ve'afilu b'divrei Torah asur, he's not allowed to study Torah as well. So this whole process of a colonoscopy is complicated for someone who wants to learn Torah. It's also complicated because after the colonoscopy is over, you usually, if they gave you how do they call it in English, tishtush in Hebrew, something to make you sort of forget what's going on. They give you a drug because they don't. So in any event, it could be hours until you really snap out of it. I remember the first time I did a colonoscopy, my wife came to me, and she said, "It's time to go home." I said, "Well, they didn't do the procedure yet." This was 3 hours after they had done the procedure. Okay, let's go back up to the Mechaber. Af im rotza lilmod olispalel miyat. In other words, the man is in the following, so to speak, predicament. On the one hand, he hasn't yet recited Asher Yotzar. On the other hand, he doesn't have time for Asher Yotzar right now. He wants to study, he wants to daven, but the answer is no. That first comes Asher Yotzar. Now, what about Al Netils Yadayim? Well, we said that Al Netils Yadayim is a bracha that's omitted because he's making the bracha now on the Asher Yotzar, even though he's cleaning his hands, and even if he's using a kli, and he's doing it b'serigin and so forth and so on, but he leaves out the bracha of Al Netils Yadayim. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Gimel. L'spalo miyad after kaim olam b'siman reish lamed gimel v'le tefilas mincha v'le chen li arvis afilu eni yodei lahem shum lichluch tzarech li tol yadav v'kol shkeik shasa tzrachav. He's asking the following. Maybe we should reconsider this and obligate him to make al netils yadayim for the purpose of tefillah, because before you daven, you're required to wash your hands. And how much more so in this scenario, where he went to the washroom and he did ketanim or gdolim. Now he has to wash his hands. So the case is where he needs washing of his hands before mincha, before ma'ariv, and in this case he really has to wash his hands. It's not a question of, oh, look at your hands and see if they're clean. You can't daven until you wash your hands here, because he went to the bathroom. Mikolakom nevertheless ain't a varach al netil sidayim b'shachar. This is only one time that he makes the brach al netil sidayim, what we call negelvasa, in the morning. And during the course of the day, he does not repeat the bracha al netil sidayim, even though he's about to daven, and even though tefillah generates a chiv that he has to wash his hands, he does not make a bracha al netil sidayim. You wonder why. It sounds like that this is a question of the takonis chachamim. When the chachamim required netil sidayim, did they require it with a bracha? It's simply, it's an act of nikiyus to guarantee that your hands are clean. And with regard to waking up in the morning, you remember we spoke about the rush that Yadayim Askaniyot, saying that during the course of the night he came in contact with other parts of the body that were covered. There the Rabbanu made a takana that he has to wash Netil Sidaim with a bracha. But when they required Netil Sidaim for tefillah in general, like for example Mincha and Ma'ariv, they did not add the requirement of a bracha. I'm not familiar with this. Meaning, Lamaisa, I don't think this is the way we do it. Okay, so the Mishnah Berura, despite the quote here from the Atzus HaChaim, he nevertheless decides that we go with the Mechaber and we leave out Al Netil Sidaim.
Who wrote this Sefer?
I'm not sure. I think it's the Malbim. But you know what? For that, I would need Feinberg, which I have here in my apartment, but I don't have it right here now. It's called Beis Oked Sfarim. You see, the name Artzus HaChaim is a very popular name. My guess is there are probably about 7 Sfarim by the same name. I'm just guessing. Maybe 5, 7. So, we what Feinberg does is, after the title, and he tells you the date of publishing, he writes a word or two about the book. And based on that, you can identify which one you're looking for. I know the Malbim wrote a book called Artzus HaChaim, but I'm not sure if that's the one he's quoting. But the bottom line, according to the Mishnah Berura, is that you don't make a bracha of Al Netil Sidaim except for the morning when you wake up with Negel Mas. Now I'm just wondering if there's any way of avoiding this. Oh, it's only for Gedolim. Well, the only way of avoiding this suffix would be to make sure that you go to the bathroom for Gedolim way, way before Mincha time. But you know, it's very hard to engineer that. Says the Rambam, Hayu Yadav Meluchlachos, his hands are filthy, Sheshifshef Bahem. Right, so we're not sure what this means. It literally means he rubbed his hands against something. So what's this case? Let's see the Mishnah Berura. Ah, shifshef b'hem ani tzotzol shel meraglayim v'hu adin b'gdol. Now, he really has the filth of either urine or worse than that on his hands. And nevertheless, he doesn't make al netil sidayim. So look, both of Machaber and the Ramah agree to this principle that Al Netil Sidaim is a bracha that we recite once a day, ala boker, when we wake up and we wash Negel Mas. We have this Artzos HaChaim who wants to say that after Asiyas Tzrachov, when he's about to be Mispalel, he would make a bracha Al Netil Sidaim. I'm just thinking, is there a possibility of avoiding this suffix by listening to someone else's bracha? Let me just think. It's about mincha time, so where's he going to find anyone? He can theoretically find someone who's about to sit down and eat a meal, and he's going to make al netil sidaim, and he can be yotze with that. Can he be yotze with someone who's washing negel mas? Maybe you can do that over the internet. What would you say about that?
Like Skype?
On Skype, yeah. Let's say I'm going to daven Mincha 3:15. In Toronto, Canada, it's 3:15. I'm sorry, I'm going to drive 3:15. In Toronto, Canada, it's 8:15 a.m. That, why do I mention these numbers? Because that's when I give my Skype share to Toronto. On Wednesdays at 3:15. There, it's 8:15. Now, the chevru who come to my shir have already davened. But theoretically, they can get a minyan after my shir at 9 a.m. But the point is, let's say, if one of the chevru would make al netil sidayim on negel vasa, and I would be yotze, with that bracha, it would cover me for mincha. Because according to Yatzis HaChaim, I need a bracha for mincha. For Netil Sidaim and Mincha. Now, normally I don't think you could be Yotzei Bracha over Skype, but maybe in this case, because we're only trying to cover L'chumra, the Arzus HaChayim, this is what we could do. I'm just mentioning a crazy, you know, in modern technology, anything's possible. The world has become such a small place. In theory, if you wake up early enough on Friday here, and let's say you want to give a Skype shiur or over the web, you could be teaching in three different countries cinch. You could be teaching in Australia, and there the 9 hours ahead, so it'd be 2 p.m. in the afternoon. You could be teaching in Yerushalayim at 5 a.m. if you have people who wake up early before davening. And you could be teaching in New York, it's 10 p.m. in New York, or in Toronto, Canada. I mean, only in modern technology is this possible. To have people participating in a shiur live in three parts of the globe.
Cousin's son is going off to Australia for a year abroad. And so you're saying they're 9 hours ahead. Maybe the 9 hours or 7 hours.
Oh, okay, maybe now it's 7 hours.
Yes, I think seven now. But it's either 7 or 9 because the seasons are flipped and their daylight savings time.
So it could never be 8.
Right.
It's called like a woman who gives birth prematurely. It's usually after 7 months, but not after 8 months. In the Gemara's time, if a woman gave birth after 8 months, it was more dangerous than if she gave birth after 7 months. But it's just amazing, you know, how Torah could be transmitted in so many countries at the same moment. And they're really, in a sense, it could be pretty relatively convenient. You know, 10 p.m. on the New York clock is not crazy late. There are people who go to shiurim at that hour.
Sure.
If you're really motivated here in Israel, you could wake up at 4 in the morning, which sometimes I do, and at 4:30 you could be giving a shiur. It's 9:30 p.m. in New York. And in Australia, it's either, what, 7:04, is 11:30 a.m. or it's 1:30 p.m. You know, for them it could be a lunch and learn. It's wild. And I'm sure if you're creative, you can come up with even other possibilities. Now, when Skype first came out, you know, it was a little bit difficult, especially on the giving end. You know, it was very hard to hear the audience. Today, I give a Skype show once a week, and I see the audience, I hear them, they ask questions, it's interactive. It's just amazing. And the technology is only getting better. Skype is already, I mean, on its way out. I think they're going beyond Skype.
And my daughter does it all the time. She teaches English and speaks to Chinese students.
In China?
From here. She's here.
She's here in Israel, but where are the students? In China?
China, yeah.
Wow. Gee, I'd like to ask her a few questions about how she organizes that.
With a company. She's not
her. Right, but I'm just wondering... Just wondering about how they do that, because if I could imitate that technology, I may be able to teach Torah, you know, in different places. Just wondering. Okay, so we get back to the Mishnah Berurah. So we did Dalet. So we're up to Mishnah Berurah Hey. So let's first read the Mechaber in Si'if Beis. Hey Til Mayim Velo Shif Shef. So he doesn't have any urine on his hands. Afal pishe tzorech levarech asher yotzar, eino tzorech litol yodov, elim shum nekius o mishum hikon. So what's the upshot of this mechaber? What is he trying to teach us? I mean, in any event, he says that even though you don't have any urine on your hands, you still need netilas yadayim mishum nekius. Right, so mishum nekius, he does require netilas yadayim. So again, let's read this one more time, and then hopefully the Mishnah Berurah will set us straight here. Hitil mayim velo shif shef, afal pi shetzarch levarach asher yotzar, eino tzarch litol yadav ela mishum nekius o mishum hikon. So the Mishnah number hey, v'im elo b'mel litol, afal pichay tzarech levarach asher yotzar, v'afilim shifshef mashma li'el, v'ongen Avram, demahani lebrochos, im menake yodu b'cholmini deminki. Oh, so first of all, I begin to understand what he means by nikius. Nikius means kolmili deminke. You don't need water. All you need is some sort of cleansing agent. Well, what do they call those hand cream? Not hand creams. The hand liquid soap. You know what I mean? So the soap will do it, even though there's no water. I mean, obviously the soap is made up of a certain element of water, but it's not water in a pure form. And he's saying the following, that what you need here is nikius. You don't need netilas yadayim in this case, in a formal netilas yadayim, which means mayim from a kli. All you need is nikius. And you need nikius. Oh, and what about hikon? Hikon is already for tefillah. For tefillah, I would think you certainly need netilas yadayim. In fact, the Bir Halacha here is not so sure about this. Let's see, he tells you to look in Sadi Alf, which I think we have here in this volume. So that's on page 247. So if Bays 248. He's talking about Hikon. So this is a general comment about Hikon. Like, for example, you have to wear a belt in order to prepare yourself for tefillah. So let's just think. We're talking about Nikius, correct? And all he needs is Nikius. Oh, Mishum Hikon. You know what? We have to go back to the Bir Halacha Hitil Mayim Velo Shifshef. Zok to Bir Halacha Seif Zelo Lo Mayri Litfila Shom Tzach Litol Ach Belo Hitil Mayim Klal. So as far as tefillah is concerned, you definitely need Nitil Sidaim, even if you didn't go into the bathroom. So we're not talking about tefillah. So what are we talking about? Not sure. This is unclear to me. Bida'od yimshivshei tzorch midino lito yimshivshei biyar achas eno tzorch midino rak oso ayat. There's a little bit of confusion here. Let's see if by chance there's anything in the Shari Tshuva here. We're talking about Sif Beis. Not seeing anything in the Shari Tshuva often. So what are we talking about here? Elo Mishum Nikiu. So we said that Kol Midi Leminke. So that if he does Hatolos Mayim and he needs to make a bracha, he doesn't need the Tilos Yadayim if he had Hatolos Mayim below Shifshuf. All he needs is Nikius. O Mishum Hikun. Hikon. Right? That if, but what does he mean, the Hikon? Hikon means for tefillah, but the Bir Halacha says we're not talking about tefillah. Because what? Rabban Halacha Sinai Shnia Rak Mishum Hikon. So, in the case of Lo Shifshev, so he needs Nikius for Asher Yotzar. And in the Seifa, then he needs in the sefer where it was low shifshev. So if it was shifshev, then he needs Netilas Yadayim. If it was without Shifshuv, then he needs Nikius for Asher Yotzar. And what does this mean? O Mishum Hikon. He needs to have clean hands for Tefillah. What does the Mishnah Berurah mean when he says Sif Zelo Mayrilu Tefillah? You see my problem here? The Mishnah Berurah Bir Halacha says Hito Mayim Lo Shif Sif Zelo Mayrilu Tefillah. What does he mean Lo Mayrilu Tefillah? The Machaber himself says O Mishum Hikon. Hikon is Tefillah. I don't know how you can say Siv Zelo Mairi Im Shif Shev Tzach Midina Litol. That's as far as what? As far as Asher Yotzar maybe is concerned. As far as Tefillah is concerned, he says in general you need Netilas Yadayim for Tefillah. Sham tzarch litol af below hitol mayim klal. So he must have Netilas Yadayim. So what does it mean? Omishum hikon. In other words, he'll need Netilas Yadayim for tefillah. Tzif zeh lo mayri. Why? Because I see what he's saying. That the Mechaber is differentiating between Nikius and Netilas Yadayim. In the case of Shif Shef, he needs Netilas Yadayim. In the case of Lo Shif Shef, all he needs is Nikius. Right? In Lo Shif Shef, he doesn't need Netilas Yadayim. Why? Because it's low shif shef. So I see, if I'm not mistaken, the Be'er Aloch is telling us that distinction between shif shef and low shif shef, as to whether or not you need Netilas Yadayim, that's only relevant to Birchas Asher Yotzar. But when we get to Tefillah, then we always, in an absolute way, with no exception, require Netilas Yadayim for Tefillah. That's Hikon. But I'm still not happy with the words O Mishum Hikon.
What is the Be'er Halacha saying at the end? Lo
Mishum Hikon. Ve'ayin Perik Aleph D'Shabbos Ratzolomar V'ulay Lezek Kivein Agrov V'mesh Tzim Ve'ayin Perik Aleph D'Shabbos Ratzolomar Daf Yud Shemisham Novea Hadin Shel Shohar. Okay, he doesn't tell you exactly what it says there in Shabbos. If we had time, just don't know if we have time to do this, we would look in Masech to Shabbos on Daf Yud and see what he has over here. But the Siman of Hikon is here on Tzadi Aleph, Siman Tzadi Aleph. I don't know. I'm not seeing anything about Netilas Yadayim here right now. Okay. Let's go on. Hitil Mayim. This is Sif Gimel. V'siach daito milahotil Mayim. V'akach nimloch v'hitil Mayim pamacher. Tzorch levarach beis piyom asher yotza. Wow. If I'm not mistaken, he's saying that he recites his bracha twice consecutively, one after the other. So l'chatchila should avoid such a thing. We even had a discussion about the prima gadim going to the bathroom, making asher yotza before you go to the bathroom a second time. Here you went to the bathroom twice. It's fafalan. I mean, that's the situation here. Hitil mayim, and again hitil mayim. So he needs to make a second Asher Yotzah. Just one second. Hitil Mayim V'siach Taito Milan V'achach Nim. Ah, no, If he didn't finish urinating and he still had to continue his urination, then it's only one bracha. But he finished. He just hasn't made his bracha. Then all of a sudden, he feels the urgency to go again. He'll need two brachas. Okay, what is the Mishnah Berurah here? Where is the Mishnah Berurah here? Beis Pa'am, Kirmatsinu Le'inyan Tefillah. I think what he means is that he has one Asher, he has one Asher Yotzar in the morning after he goes to the bathroom, and then he's ready for davening. Let's see. She'im tov alo hispil shachris. Ah, interesting. He's saying that where do we find that you continuously, one after the other, repeat the same bracha? We find it in the case of tashlum.
What's the connection?
Yeah, you're right. It's a very it's a very loose wire here. But who cares about? We're not learning the laws of tashlum. I don't know. Let's see if it'll become clear as we go along. He says, "Avol harbi achronim cholkim al psak zev v'sorim d'shayni tefila shehi b'makom karban v'shayapot tashlumin." That's what we say was the tefila's tashlumin. Mashenki v'asher yotza shi birchas hoda'a yotzei v'hoda'a achas al harbi pa'amim kimisha ochal shtei pa'amim v'si ataita v'intayim shivar birchas amasin achas al shteyen. Wow. So this will really shed a light on what we started here, because we didn't really have clarity. Why would he open up his discussion here, the Mishnah Berurah, with kinematzinu le'inyan tefillah? I mean, we're not talking about tashlumin here. So the answer is that in the case of tashlumin, which is a bimkom karban, so this tashlum for a karba, but in Asher Yotzar, he was Yotzei's mitzvah. So again, Kidematzinu L'inyan Tefillah is going to justify why he makes two brachas of Asher Yotzar. Why can't he kill two birds with one stone and make one Asher Yotzar for both Yitzios? And the answer is, it's like tashlumin and tefillah. So comes along the Achronim and they say, but what do you mean tashlumin and tefillah? There's no tashlumin in Asher Yotzar. And not only that, he says Asher Yotzar is a birchas hodah, and you need a hodah for every yitzir. Ah, but he's saying that according to this first opinion, the second opinion, I'm calling it, and this is the opinion that disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. He has a list here in the Shaar Tzion, the Bach, the Shalom, the Magen Avraham, the Groz, Shaar Achronim. I mean, there's a whole list of Achronim. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. In the Shaar Tzion is Dalet. It just says Achronim. He doesn't identify them. They want to suggest that one Odah should be enough for both Yitzios. His odin of tashlumin with regard to Asher Yotzar is yotzei bodo achas al harpei pa'amim. So in other words, the first opinion, which is reflected in the Shulchan Aruch, maintains an analogy between our case, where he didn't go to the bathroom and now he's going a second time, and the case of tefillah, where he didn't daven in v'shaita in its first tefillah, now he makes he recites Shmon Esrei twice. Here also he should recite Asher Yotzar twice. And those Achronim, anonymous Achronim who disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, they maintain that one Asher Yotzar should cover them for both. But that's not really so, because every time he has a Yitzia, he has to thank Hashem for that Yitzia. What do you say?
If it's being compared to a bracha acharona, like, it isn't the case where if one gets make a bracha achrona, one can still do it if they still feel satiated from
right.
eating. So it's not the same as one still feels relief from.
Well, he's talking about a case where he was meisiach das. In other words, if you decide that you've completed the meal, then for you the meal is over, and that generates a chiyuv of berkas hamazon. Now you decide to continue your meal. Okay, that's a new seuda, and that requires its own set of brachas. But yet you can bench for both of them. Why? Because since both the first seuda and the second seuda generate the same identical chiyuv of this nusach, this body of text, which is called Berkas HaMazon, you can read one time, read the text, and you yotze the two different chiyuv. Each achila is a separate achila, because it's meisiach das between one achila and the other. So the two chovos, two obligations that emerge here, but he can fulfill them, what we say, kill two birds with one stone. He can fulfill both of these chiyuvim with one Berkas HaMazon. Here too, he can fulfill the chiyuv asher yotzah for each yitzia with one Berkas HaMazon. With one asher yotzah. So again, there's a very solid group of dissenters here, of achronim, who would say that one asher yotzah is enough. The Mechaber says explicitly he needs two asher yotzahs in this case. So how is it different than the case of achila? So maybe the Mechaber is learning that in the case of achila, within a certain period of time, if he decides to continue his achila, one Birkas HaMazon could cover both of them. And let's say the Mechayev here is Svir. Okay, I'm going to slug this up, but let's say for a possibility that the Torah says V'achalta V'savata U'beirachta. Correct? So the Svir here is an integration of two different achilos, separated by a hesek hadas in between them. So that svia generates one bracha, and with that bracha he could be yotze both achilos. But in the case of hatolas mayim, each yitzir requires a bracha of asher yotzar. I have to thank God for this yitzir, I have to thank God for this yitzir. The two separate mechayvim. There's no way you can integrate both yitzios into one entity. Mashenkin and achila, at least as far as svi is concerned, you certainly have you have room for integration. So again, according to the mechaber. If you have two mechayvim, you need two brachas, unless you can integrate those two mechayvim into one enterprise, which in Hilchos Brachos is a mechayv and bracha. So in achilos, I can take two achilos, I can mitzarif them into one bracha, because the bracha is on achila. So by virtue of the second achila, I've created now an opportunity of having one bracha to thank Hashem for the greater achila, which would include the first achila up to the hesek hadas. But says the Mechaber, in the case of asher yotzar, the mechayv of the bracha is the yitzia itself, and I had two yitzia, so each yitzia independent of the other one generates a chiyuv bracha. Now the quote here from Tashlumin in Tefillah is fascinating. Is there a possibility of saying that in Asher Yotzar he gets himself into a Tashlumin situation? That can't be. No. This has nothing to do with Tashlumin. But let's just think about that. Why not? Maybe this could be Tashlumin. Oh, yeah. We're going to have to say that the second Yitzia is like going from Mincha to Ma'ariv, or Shachris to Mincha. Once he has a second Yitzia, then the first Yitzia is already clinched, and the Chiyuv Bracha is already we have a complete entity with a chiyuv bracha. And that's like tefillah. What do we derive from tefillah? That will give you another opportunity. One second. In other words, the Yitziyah sets up a chiyuv birchas asher yatzar. And the question is, and you integrate that into another asher yatzar. Let's assume you cannot. Each yitzir is a separate, independent chiyuv of asher yatzar. So why does he invoke the halach of tashlumim? That I'm not sure about, because again, tashlumim means when a certain time period has elapsed, and hence the time for that mitzvah has terminated. I don't know if you could apply that to asher yatzar, but in any event, let's just say this, that according to the Mechaber, the only time you could, so to speak, kill two birds with one stone is the case of Achilos, where you can integrate both into Svir, into one whole. But in the case of Asher Yatzar, each Yitzir is Mechaev unto itself. How can you integrate the two such that one Asher Yatzar would cover both? Each one is a Chiyuv unto itself. On this Machlokas, the Mishnah Berurah writes, V'yesh lahakel v'safek brachos. So in this case, we're actually going to rely on the Achronim, who claim that one Birchas Asher Yatzar would be Ola for both Yitzios.
I was confused when that expression. Does that mean that it would be Yatzar just for one bracha, or you make the two brachas, if we're being hakel the brachas?
According to the Achronim? Well, according to the Mechaber. According to the Mechaber, he has to actually make two brachos. So you're asking according to the Achron.
No, but the expression to be where the brachos Levan, that would mean just make one bracha or make two brachos?
Well, according to his final conclusion,
yes.
Only one. Why? Because Safik brachos lahakel. In other words, you can't enter into a problem of lotisa, shem Hashem lashav, of making an extra bracha if you're only in a suffix situation. Because, you know, the Easter is very severe, you know, to recite a bracha that you don't need. And since here, according to the Achronim, you don't need a second bracha, you should drop it, omit it. L'chathil nochel yizol levar tekev asher yotzar achar atolz mayim, v'shem yitzarech od ach kachlotil mayim, v'adin b'gdolim. So your best bet, your best recommendation would be to make the bracha of asher yatzar after you finish urinating, and not to get into a situation where you might have two mechayvim and you don't know if you need one bracha or two brachas. You finish, make the bracha asher yatzar. Don't delay, because you never know, in 5 minutes' time you might have to go again and you'll end up with a suffic bracha situation. But Lamaisa, if he urinates twice and he didn't make the Asher Yatzar in between, he will not make an extra Asher Yatzar in the first Yitzir. Because we're worried about the possibility that we pass on like these Achronim, these unidentified, faceless Achronim, anonymous Achronim, who maintain that one Asher Yatzar could cover two Yitzios. Just like one Birkas Hamazon can cover two Achilos. Okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds at the end of Lechatchila Nochel Lizor Levarech Tekev Asher Yatzar, as we said before, to avoid these sfeikas of having to make, you know, do I have to make a double Asher Yatzar, two Asher Yatzars for two Yitzis. Now what we're up to here is Sif Ches. Hilchas Tzitzis V'Atifaso. So let's see if we can make at least a aschol, a little bit of an introduction here on Sif Ches. And the Mechaber writes, Yis'atev B'Tzitzis V'Yivarech Me'umad. The language of the Mechaber seems to indicate that the bracha on tzitzit is going to be recited after he puts on the tzitzit, because otherwise he should have said Yivarech v'yisateh p'tzitzit. And the Mechaber requires me'umad, which might be a general category that applies to all mitzvahs, that the bracha on any mitzvah should be me'umad in a standing position. The Mishnah Berurah points out Yisate b'tzitzis miyad achar netilas yadayim kidei shelo yelech arba amos below tzitzis. So presumably he's at home, he hasn't yet gotten to the shul, and I don't know if he's putting on his talis gadol. He might be just putting on his talis katan, and in which case the bracha might be al mitzvah tzitzis as opposed to lithis atev tzitzis. So Mitzvah, we'll see about that as we go along. But there's a pressing urgency to make the bracha immediately at the first opportune moment, because otherwise he may be walking dalet amos without tzitzis. Me'umad ratzalomar hatifa ve'abracha shtehen ba'mida. So he has now atifa and bracha. Not only does the bracha require amida, but also the atifa requires amida. Now, why does the atifa require amida? Atifa mishum dechsiv lachem. V'yalfin egzer shom ve'omer dechsiv gamke lachem. U'biomer ksiv me'achel chermesh bakoma darshin bakoma al tikri bakoma el bakoma. So he's saying that there's a general, universal requirement of mitzvos, that we do mitzvos in a standing position. In the Karbana Omer, the bracha over the Omer, the counting of the Omer has to be ba'amida. And therefore, the conclusion is, based on Me'achel Charmesh Bakoma as the paradigm case, that Kol Birchas HaMitzvah Tzrichot Lios Be'amido, that Birchas HaMitzvah requires Amido, and that's derived from the Omer. So we skip the word Va'abracha here, which is the first word in the third line. In other words, the Atifa needs an Amida, because every mitzvah should be done by Amida, and that we derive from the paradigmic case of the Omer. And the Bracha requires Amida, because all Birchas HaMitzvah require Amida. He doesn't tell you what the source for that is, but maybe since the mitzvah requires Amida, so ipso facto, the Bracha on the mitzvah also should be done by Amida. And that's what it says here. If you take a look at the next line in the Mishnah, it says Hu rak lechatchila, but b'di'evad yotza b'shteyim v'chol gavne. I think he's saying that even the atifa, if it was done by yeshiva in a sitting position, he'd be yotze b'di'evad. And certainly in the case of the bracha, he would be yotze the chiyuv bracha, even be yeshiva. Of that, there's no doubt. He says, b'di'evad yotze b'shteyem, the atifa and the bracha could be yotze b'yeshiva. Hiskimu rov hachronim d'lechatchila tzorech lios ha'bracha kodem ha'atifa. Ta'ayna b'shoshu ochso b'yod rotzlus atipo d'zeh over las yosem mamshlo yaktim Bishosh adayin atals mekupeles dezeu over di over. So it's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah is not operating with our diuk in the Mechaber that the brach should come after the ituv. The Mishnah Berurah is vacillating about the following question: when you say the bracha is before the ituv, does that mean A, when the talis is still fold it up? Does it mean B, when he's holding on to the talis? Or does it mean C, when he has the talis mamish over his head, he's about to do ituv, it's the last second before the maisa ituv? The Mishnah Berurah seems to assume that the best ideal situation would be to recite the bracha before the atifa, which I thought meant before, you know, right, he's ready for atifa mamish. But the Mishnah Berurah identifies it as v'shashu ochso biyado v'rotzelis atef bo. Now, I'm not sure. He says biyado, ochso biyado. It sounds like in one hand. If he would have said biyadov, I would say that he has his hands mamish over on top of his head and rotzelis atef bo miyad, meaning at the last moment. But certainly, if the talus is still folded up, that's over the over. I suspect, despite my diuk in the word biyado, that he means exactly what we do, and he's got the talus spread, he's holding it with two hands, and he's about to drop it over his head. Now, I'm a little bit confused about the following, and hopefully this will become clear as we go along in the siman, that the Mishnah Berurah says miyad yisati pitzitzis miyad achanetilus yadayim. What does he mean over here? Because when we're talking about seder atifa, I don't think we're talking about the lobster dekel, the talus katan. I think we're talking about the talus gadol. So if the word atifa is reference to the talus gadol, and he's talking about how he holds it, is it folded, is that, I mean, that all sounds like he's describing the talus gadol. And what does he mean, therefore, when he says miyad? This is the opening Mishnah Berurah here in Siv Zayin, miyad achar netilus yadayim, and he doesn't want you to walk four amos. I mean, this is the talus katan. Well, but how can it be referring to the talus katan when it says yisate bitzitzis, which means miyad achar netilus yadayim? I don't know, but dochak, I would say miyad achar netilus yadayim means that he's already in shul, or he's about to daven at home, or in any event, he's just about ready to daven, so he's picking up his talus katan. Alternatively, he's talking about the talus katan, and then you have to read it like this: v'tzadim katani yisate v'tzitzis. He's referring to both the talus katan and the talus katan, or maybe he's doing itu for this talus katan. I don't know if that's feasible. Then the Mechaber in Siv Beis writes, "Seder atifas kederach bnei adam shemiskasim beksusam v'oskim v'malachtam pa'am bekisya rosh pa'am begiuya rosh v'nachon sheichase rosho b'talis." He says that kiderach bnei adam shemiskasim beksusam. So they get dressed and then they go out to do their malacha. Sometimes they cover their head, sometimes they don't cover their head. Now, if he's not going to cover his head, how's he making the bracha on the talus? We'll take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Gimel. He says, V'afagav demarachin lehis atef, kisi haguf lechudei, havi ituf, v'hu ikar ha'ituf. In other words, he's saying, how can you call this ituf if he's not stationary? I think the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out that the equation here between kederach b'nei adam is kasim b'ksusam to the case of ituf is a little bit odd, because ituf means covering the head, whereas miskasim b'ksusam refers to covering their bodies. So why does the Mechaber make that equation? And his answer is that the word ituf is a general term, a generic term, and it includes even kisi aguf. That's what he says, kisi aguf lechudei havi ituf. Covering the body is the word is the action, so to speak, that relates to ituf, to the word ituf. The verb or the action of ituf means covering the body. Now, when he says begili rosh, he means is that sometimes people cover their body without something over their head. And through the covering of their body, I guess they achieve this goal of covering their head. So what exactly is the Mechaber gaining by making this equation? I don't know. All right, so we'll try to pick up tomorrow.